Hey, hey, what's up? It's the Zisu back again, and this is E Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. And then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 2. Today we'll be talking about Longmire and the Babadook. Before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome, episode 2. Everyone that listened to the first one, thank you so much. I always look forward to doing the regular show, but this one is, I don't know, I just got like super excited. Couldn't wait to do this. So let's just get right into it. I got a lot to say about Longmire, so we'll start off with the Babadook. What did you think of it?
First off, I got to say that I was, you know, a little reluctant. You know, I'm not the biggest horror fan, but through E Society and, you know, us already before we even started up to the challenge, we would challenge each other to watch stuff. So, you know, now we're just putting it to pod, but I made sure to watch it during the day, like I messaged you about. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's definitely more on the psychological thriller side, so that was cool. You know, there's definitely some creepiness to it. I didn't love it as much as per se as when you compare it to like What We Do in the Shadows. Obviously, that was a comedy, but I did definitely respect what they were able to pull off with this film. I took it as a horror fan. You were a fan of how different it was, right?
Yeah, it wasn't just your straight ghost story or supernatural right. type of thing. It was a little bit different. Yeah, I mean, it did have the elements of a lot of past horror films, but this one, I'm looking at IMDb and it says drama horror. It was scary. I mean, when you're not knowing what the Babadook is
right.
and everything, and when you hear it, Babadook or whatever the hell it was saying.
Yeah. right.
It was just a different take. I mean, I remember reading about this right before it came out, and I was like, oh, this sounds cool. And then I finally watched it, and I really enjoyed it. I know there was some horror fans out there that was, oh, this movie's dumb. It was overhyped. This one wasn't overhyped to me. I think it was just something I read. And, this sounds cool. So I watched it, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was something a little new, not too much, but
yeah.
For what the director did, Jennifer Kent, and she also wrote this story. I mean, I thought she did an amazing job, as well as the acting in it. I mean, just the little boy, he did a good job. And was it little boy? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it was.
But I mean, it was. I don't really want to spoil it for those who haven't seen this.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. One thing I would say about it is I read that it had kind of vibes of like a new age Poltergeist, Exorcist. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
More on the line of Poltergeist, just a little bit, not too much. I mean, this story right. is a widowed mother plagued by a violent death of her husband, battles with her son's fear of a monster lurking in a house, but soon discovers a sinister presence all around her. That was pretty much what it was. I think what added to the, like, not really suspense, but a little creepiness was the actual book, the Babadook book that they were reading.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I actually really liked that. It was well done. I know you didn't keep up with the TV show Legion, the X-Men spinoff, but they kind of had a book almost like that, and I almost wonder if they were inspired by that. They had the angriest boy in the world, and they had kind of a similar thing kind of happened, so I almost wonder if they were inspired by this film.
I don't know. Maybe. I do eventually want to get back to Legion as well as some that other X-Men show. But with this one, of course, I'm going to give you horror movies, but I'm not going to.
You're right.
I'm not going to give you the straight up nonsense slasher films. I mean, I wanted to give you something to.
Sure. No, I saw that.
To make you think a little, not just throw it at you and just okay. I mean, anyone can make a horror movie and just, but I always try to give you like a thinker. I have another one for you, but I'm not sure. I need to see if it is streaming. But
okay.
Overall, what did you think of like set design? And not so much costume because they were just wearing just regular clothes, but I mean, but the whole setting and the feeling of the dread of what the mom and the son were going through. I mean, what did you like about the setting of the house?
Oh yeah, I thought that was one of the best parts of the film. How kind of minimalistic it was, and that actually helps with the sense of dread, the sense of isolation, and you know, you really question. What's going on? You kind of think you have an idea, and then it kind of flips, and you're like, "Oh no, it's this, no, it's that," and so it keeps you guessing. And yeah, I think it really works as far as the creepiness, as far as the isolation, and it's creepier when it's quieter and it's, you know, only so many people and there's a noise or something like that. And that really builds the suspense. And overall, I really did appreciate the way it was more of, you know, like you were just saying, not a traditional horror. It really does fit more into like a psychological thriller category.
Yeah. So. They didn't throw a monster or whatever. 'Cause you're reading this story and you're seeing the images of the Babadook. They didn't throw that down your throat. 'Cause I think when I watch these type of movies, when they show it, it's like, it kind of just takes it out of it. Like you're like, you were doing good until you show
right
what's scary. And then it just gets dumb.
It flips. I mean,
not every horror movie, can pull it off, but there is some that can pull it off. What was the one that the Ritual, that one,
right?
I mean,
yeah,
when they finally showed that monster, I mean, I thought they really did a good job with it, but with this one, they're showing you shadows and everything.
Yeah.
I think I like that. That's a little more creepier, but
you question what is real and what's like in the mind almost. That's why it works so well. It's not just, yes, this is here. So there's you keep questioning really back and forth, and that's why I think it works so well.
Yeah, I mean, I really love this one. I mean, I was glad that I didn't read into it.
Yeah, I definitely tried not to either. I just looked at the classification. I was like, okay, and then I just quickly looked at the scores, the meta scores. I didn't read what they said, but I was like, okay, there's like 100, 100, 90, so. It was up there, so it was definitely a well-respected film, too.
All right. You got anything else?
No, just that I would recommend that, and it's streaming on Netflix. So, yeah, if you are, like, not a horror fan, like Nez said, not a slasher, you know, bloody, you stay away from that stuff, but you like we've talked about before on the show, the others, more psychological thriller, like Nez said, maybe a little poltergeist-ish. You know, if that's more up your alley, I definitely recommend checking this out because I had only kind of heard about this film, but I think it really kind of went under the radar. So it's a good recommendation for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one, and we all watched it. Eric even liked it, and he said it was a little creepy. You saw the Babadook, didn't you?
Right.
Tiga? What did you think of it?
It was just kind of weird. I don't know how to describe it. It was creepy. It wasn't super scary.
Did you like that they didn't show what it was?
Yeah, I like that better because then whatever you imagine is usually scarier than what it looks like on the movie.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, I love the movie. I have not picked it up yet. I eventually will have it in my library. But overall, did you watch it by yourself?
No. I watched it with Jade. She hung in there. I think she's starting to treat the like scarier movies, like, you know, it was like a whole build up to seeing it in the theater. She's treating them almost more of a challenge herself, like standing up to the challenge, as in the podcast.
Well,
seeing what she can handle, and if not, you know, she might walk away or out of the room. But she did stick with this one. So.
Well, she did good, man. She started off with The Conjuring when she was at her
right
at her friend's house, and then watching It with you. Yeah. And, I think what starting off with something to me I thought was really scary was The Conjuring. Starting off with something like that, and then slowly, I mean, The Babadook to me I don't think was as scary as The Conjuring, as well as It. It was creepy, but I don't know. The Conjuring was just a little more just scary to me. I know some people out there didn't like it at all or didn't think it was scary at all, but it creeped the hell out of me. So, but, right. Anything else?
No, just that, yeah, I definitely recommend if you haven't heard of The Babadook or you're on the fence about checking it out, I can recommend giving it a watch. It's for any kind of movie watcher. You don't have to be a horror fan. So, yeah, another good up to the challenge recommendation.
All right. Longmire.
Well, before we get into Longmire, let me give you just a little toss-up setup why I recommended this to you and how I actually came to it. Of all things, the first place I saw this, and you might have too, was when right before it first aired, they advertised before the movies in the theater. And they always used to show the preview for Longmire. It actually started out on A&E. The first three seasons aired on A&E. And then they canceled it, but it actually had a fan following. So it was one of Netflix's projects, like Arrested Development and other shows. They brought back Full House, things like that. They brought back Longmire and did another three seasons. So all six seasons are up on Netflix. And the main reason I wanted to offer this up to you was because of how much you loved the film Wind River. And I finally got a chance to see that. And I couldn't help but when watching Wind River think of certain similarities in the series Longmire. So, yeah, I'll serve it up to you. I don't know how far you get, but I'm definitely curious to see what you thought about this.
Yeah, Longmire. Yeah, the Zisu said it was on A&E, and then it went to Netflix. I've only heard of this show through a friend of the show, Tommy. He was like, "Dude, you need to watch it. You need to watch it. It's good." I was like, "All right, I'll get to it. I'll get to it." I put it in my queue, and then just never went to it. Never heard other than Tommy breathing down my neck about this show. I never even knew what it was. I didn't know all these actors that were in it, but I'm super late to the party. And I know once I started watching this or when I posted the picture of our next episode, people were starting to comment saying, "Oh man, this show's awesome," and this and that.
Yep.
So this is a story of, I guess it's based on books. Like the Walt Longmire mysteries or something like that. Now I want to read those. Walt Longmire is a dedicated and unflappable sheriff in Arisoka? I don't know. Something county in Wyoming. This was all filmed in New Mexico. But anyway, widowed by only a year, he is a man in a psychic repair that buries his pain behind his brave face. Assuming grin and dry wit. This stars a guy I've never heard of, but I've probably seen him in a ton of other things and just didn't know. Robert Taylor, he's a sheriff.
Yeah, he's had a lot of small roles. Yeah, he's been in like things like that Will Smith Margot Robbie movie. He's had a lot of small roles, like on the side.
Okay. And this is the one that made me want to watch it. I didn't know she was in this. Starbuck herself from the new Battlestar. Katie Sackhoff. I love her.
Yeah.
That's Victoria Moretti. And Smallville alumni Cassidy Freeman. She's Longmire's daughter. I liked her in Smallville. And the Ferg, he's an awesome character, played by Adam Bartley. And Ruby, I like her. I hope nothing ever happens to her, but nobody tell me. Played by Lorraine Steffens. Branch Connolly, I hate this prick. Oh, played by Bailey Chase. Oh, my God, he gets on my nerves. We'll jumping ahead.
The young punk.
Yeah, jumping ahead when, because they were both of them were running for sheriff, and Branch actually just kind of went behind Walt's back and started running from him. The scene that I loved is when they were they stopped on the side of the road and then just took their hats off, took their badges off, and then just started fighting. old school against new school. I just made me laugh. A. Martinez, right. He's the tribal chairman, Jacob Nighthorse. I love A. Martinez. He's a good actor. He's done a ton of good things, as well as soap operas. But there is a million Native actors out there. Yes, you do want to get someone that's kind of known. And like I just said, he is a good actor, but I'm like, come on. But I understand you got to get known faces. And this next guy,
there's another guy,
Henry Standing Bear,
Matthias.
He's real. Lou Diamond Phillips, the legendary Lou Diamond Phillips, Chavez from Guns. He's my favorite character in this, man. I love Lou Diamond. I've always been a fan of his. He's always played Native roles. And yes, there is a lot of people in the Native community that get mad that they don't. He's always playing Native. I like Lou Diamond Phillips. He gets the pass from me. So he's my favorite character in this show. And before I really get into it, this show is awesome. I love it. I was just going to give it a couple episodes, but after that first episode,
nice.
I was sucked in. I'm just about done with season two, and I couldn't stop, man.
Wow.
I just kept nice. Watching nice. And watching. I'd probably have been done if I'd have had more time, but I just can't. As soon as I get a minute, I'll get on my phone and watch the next episode. And oh my God. I had it when I was listening to it. I was watching it at work, and then when I had to get up, I would keep listening to it. So I knew what was going on, and I think that's how I got through so
right.
many of them. If it was something exciting, I would rewind it so I can see it, but I was listening to it. It was good. I mean, even not watching it while I was working, I can still hear it and visualize what was going on
yep.
the screen. And what I love about this show, other than just being Natives being in it, I love the topics that it tackles. I mean, with spirituality among Natives and how they're being treated on the res as well as off the res. It's not.
Yep.
It's some of it's subtle, and I know there's people out there that have no idea what's going on the res and everything. All the stuff that it tackled in this show is real. I mean, that's what I loved about it. I mean, it was really real topics, really just real situations of what goes on within the Native community on this res, the Cheyenne res that they have in this show. And I like that Longmire he's that type of sheriff. He's a good character. He's a good person. He's open. He's open-minded. I'm not sure if he's a churchgoer, but he listens to the tribal elders. He listens to Lou Diamond. What the hell's his name? Standing Bear, Henry. He listens to him. He knows that spiritual side of the Cheyenne. And he's an amazing guy, man. I mean, just this character. That's why I want to read the books. I'm sure they go into a little more detail of who he is. But my only problem with this show is they wrap every case up within the 45-minute time.
Right.
which is cool. I mean, I like what – I mean, that's – I kind of wish maybe –
Case of the week.
Yeah, a case would go maybe one or two two or three episodes. Don't wrap it all up in one. But they do kind of tie in together like the whole first season. You had that background story that was going on. They just kept showing you flashes of it. And you at the beginning, you don't really know what's going on. And by the end of the season, you realize why they were showing that. And I think right now, as far as I am, the background story is what's connecting to, I mean, season so far within season two, with the story of how Walt's wife died. He says it's one thing, but it turns out to be spoiler alert. He said that he told his daughter that her mom died of cancer, but then we find out she was murdered, and there's this whole other investigation going on with that situation. So I like that there is something that's continuing, that's leading into season two. I don't know how far they go with that story, but I like it. And just,
yeah, it goes on.
Moretti, Vicky, oh my gosh, other than her being so hot, I love her, but I like her little backstory on what's going on. Those of you who have seen the show, you know what's going on. I don't know yet, so I'm glad I know nothing about this, so it's all new to me. But I like her little backstory. I mean, as well as Henry Standing Bear, his involvement with Walt and on Walt's backstory. I mean, that's cool. But I just love this show. I mean, and to back to the native politics in this, with the shadiness of what goes on in the tribal council when you're dealing with their casino and everything and the side deals. I mean, all this story stuff that's going on, all this is real. I've heard so many different stories of what goes on here on the res that I live in, what goes on the res where my parents are from, and all my other friends that talk about all the nonsense that goes on their reservations within the political side of it, with their tribal councils and everything, and just even the situation that kind of pissed me off was the stealing of Native youth just so for profit. I mean, not so much of just kidnapping. Well, they were kidnapping them, but the orphanages or whatever you call them when they were taking the Native kids just for profit because they were getting more money. For if you had Native kids in your orphanage, they were giving you more money for them. And I was just like, oh my God, the crookedness of that, of how they got their kids lying, saying, oh, their parents are drunks and this and that, so we need to take their kids
away. Right.
Oh, that pissed me off. And the raping of Native women. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not just Native, but just the raping women, period. I mean, it was just that episode when those boys raped that mentally challenged Native girl. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was just a lot of this stuff. It was sad to watch because I've known people that have gone through some of this stuff, some of the situations that I've seen so far in this show. So it was like some of these episodes put tears in my eyes. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, but that's how powerful this show is. This show is amazing. I'm just, other than being happy that
awesome that
you got me to watch it, and
yeah,
I'm like, man, I cannot wait to watch more. I know I have I'm only four more seasons. I think I got
four more seasons.
I think I got like two more episodes of season two, and then I got four more seasons after that, and I want to kind of stretch them out, but I can't. I need to know what happens. So I've been just boom. As soon as one episode's over, I roll into the next one. If we weren't re-recording the show right now, I'd be watching it just to see.
Nice.
I know I should be watching other things for the regular show, like Walking Dead. I'm so behind on that, but I can't get enough of this show, man. This show is amazing. If you guys have not seen this and you just like good cop shows, dramatic shows, I mean, they're out in the country, in the countryside of Wyoming. It's not you're in the city and all that, but they do try to throw a little gangbangers in this. The one that made me laugh, I don't know what season it was, is when those one little gangster white guys that were stealing drugs, but prescription drugs and selling. Oh, well, they weren't stealing. Oh, yeah, they were. They were stealing them, but they were getting them from the pharmacist. The one little main gangster kid, he is, did you see Pet Sematary?
Yeah, but it was a while back, so I probably wouldn't remember.
Or the little kid from Kindergarten Cop that his dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I recently watched that.
His dad was the gynecologist, the one that, you know, I'm talking about him. That little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the main gangster in that episode.
Oh, wow.
And I was laughing. I mean,
I had no idea.
He was trying to be all rough and tough. I actually just met that kid. I met that kid at Albuquerque Comic Con, and he was cool kid. We were talking about Pet Sematary, but it's just a cool show, man. I mean, I really love what they're doing in this, and I love seeing a lot of native actors that I've seen in so many things that they pop into this. Like Gary Farmer, he played Aaron Two Rivers. He was the brother of, I think his sister was a psychic, and they found her dead, and he was like walking around backwards and saying things. I love that. He's an awesome actor. Julia Jones popped up in one. Is this her name? No, that's not her. There was this one girl that was in Seinfeld. She in the Native episode. She popped up into this. I have not seen her in I don't know how long, but just everyone, all the native actors that they pop into this.
The one I wanted to throw out to you, who I'm a huge fan of his on this show, one of my favorite characters when he pops up, is the officer Matthias, played by the Zahn McLarnon.
Yeah,
he's awesome to me. Did you like his character?
He's badass, man. I like how he is.
Yeah.
He just got that mean look, and he's just like,
yeah.
he's a good tribal officer. Is he like the chief of the Rez police? They make
well,
it seem
here, good. Let's go extreme spoiler alert, because during the first season, we've got the Malachi Strand played by Graham Greene. So yeah, like I said, extreme spoiler alert for season one.
Wait. He wasn't in the first season.
Yeah, he was.
Graham Greene.
Yeah, he was the main sheriff of the tribal police.
No, I don't think so, dude.
The deputy was at that point was Matthias.
I don't think he was in this. No, because I'm looking at it right now. He doesn't pop in it until 2014. And the show started in 2012. But Graham Greene's not even in it yet. I would remember him. He's like,
well, yeah.
You're jumping way
ahead. I'm gonna go with you because it's been since then since I watched,
yeah,
so I could be mixing
ahead.
Some stuff up.
I was like, what? How did I miss him? Because I love Graham Greene. He's an amazing actor. Yeah, I don't think he's popped in.
I do have a funny story for you. You may or may not remember. when the show first came out, 2012, the Comic-Con crew knew me, Joel, Cherry, everybody. I remember telling you guys about the show, and the reaction I got, I was like, yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips is in it. And Joel was like, ugh, you know it's bad then. And I told you, and you're like, yeah, you know it's got to be good. So it was like the complete opposite.
I've always liked Lou
reaction.
Diamond, so, this is a guy, John Bishop. I think he's also one of my favorite characters. The guy that plays Bob Barnes, the town drunk.
Oh yeah.
I like him. And the episode that put tears in my eyes, and when he was willing to just take the rap for what his son did, when he that scene was so powerful. Spoiler alert: Bob's son, I won't tell you who he hit, but I'm sure you guys already know. He was like a hit and run. He hit one of the characters on the side of the road, and just like hit and run, took off. So Bob, it turned out to be Bob's son. And Bob, everyone knows he's the town drunk. So he was like, yeah, I was driving, I was drunk, and I did it. And Walt knew it wasn't him. But that scene when Bob was just basically just throwing himself to the mercy of the court, or not the court, but just to Walt, and he just fell on his knees and he goes, it was me, I did it, take me, don't take my son. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that John Bishop did such a powerful performance in that scene. And he's been funny in everything else he's done so far. But that scene, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, he would, any father, you'll do what you can for your kids. But when he was just willing to just take the rap for his son, I was like, wow. I mean, it was good. I mean, Bob, his character is awesome, and I'm just glad that he's in it. I'm just looking at on IMDb. It looks like he's in it to the end. So awesome. Another character I like, and he directed this episode, I can't tell you what episode it is Murphy RoboCop, Peter Weller. He's Connolly is his last name. I think was he the uncle of Branch? I don't remember. He was related.
Sounds right.
He was related to somebody, and man, he was hardcore. He's only been in I think one episode so far, but I'm not sure. But Peter Weller is an awesome actor. I mean, I loved him in just about everything he did. Buckaroo Banzai is probably my favorite movie he's did, but when he came onto the show, he was badass. I love him. I mean, it was also a surprise to see Tom Wopat, Luke from Dukes of Hazzard, when he popped up in this. I was like, oh, sweet. So that was cool. And just all the other little actors that pop up into this show. I mean, but I cannot say enough good stuff about this show. This show is amazing. I kind of wish it was still going on so I would have more and more to watch. So I do not know how many books are in this series, but I would like to, if I don't read them, I probably just get them, the books on tape or MP3 or CD, whatever it is now. I have no idea. I would like to listen to them just to hear just more background on Walt Longmire. I'm sure like the books always give you more. So I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of this series. It sucks that I know that there's an end coming. But not for a while, because I still got four more seasons to get through. But this show's amazing. If you guys have not seen it, do check it out. All the episodes are on Netflix. It says there's some on Prime, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the first few seasons since Netflix took over. But Check it out. This is an amazing, amazing show. I love it. And hey, man, thank you so much. Tommy, you too, if you're listening, dude, thank you. I should have listened to you when you first told me about it. yeah, man, this show
all those years ago. Awesome.
Yeah, I oh my god, geez, 2012 was when it started.
Yep.
Oh man, yep.
Back during the prime Con Crew days.
Yeah, oh, man. I didn't realize it was going that long, but it's awesome. Yep. Lou Diamond Phillips is gonna be. I think he's gonna be at the San Francisco Comic Con, so hopefully I can make it down to that and hopefully get some words with him and kiss his ass about this show. So, yeah.
Well,
man.
I'm sure you'll be through the whole show by that time.
Yeah, I should. I'll be way done before that. But yeah, man. Oh my god, I love this. This show is awesome. And yeah, I mean that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you liked it. I was really wondering how your opinion was going to go because I couldn't help but notice that Facebook thread, how big it got with people commenting to you how it was their favorite show and how much they loved it. So yeah, it's great to hear that you're a fan.
Yeah. I'm looking on San Francisco Comic Con. I'm looking at the guests, and I don't see him. I know there was a convention coming up where he was going to be, so I don't know. I'll figure it out. Wherever he is going to be at, I'm sure I'll hopefully get some words with him. But
yeah, that'd be awesome.
So we both then. You liked the Babadook, and I loved
Babadook
Longmire. So
awesome.
What do you got next?
All right, up for the challenge. The next challenge I have for you is on HBO Go, HBO Now. I'm inspired to have you watch this one because of the new show that me and Jade just watched. I talked about it last E Society episode, that Rise. It made me think of Hamlet 2, the comedy with Steve Coogan. You'll get a good laugh out of this.
I've seen it already.
You've seen it?
I saw it.
So much for that. Well, real quick, what'd you think?
It was cool. I mean, it was funny. I know they were hyping it up at Comic-Con. And I thought that looks cool. I'll check it out. Yeah, I saw it a while ago.
Okay. Well, so much for that. All right, I got a backup for you. I got another Netflix film for you with Frank Grillo. It's called Wheelman. Have you heard of that?
Let me see. I need to see. Oh, okay. That's a new one, huh?
Yeah.
Came out last year. Yeah, I've been wanting to watch
it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll check it out. Yeah, I know. I love Frank Grillo. And there's all kinds of people in this. I have it in my queue. I remember watching the trailer, and it looked pretty good. So I didn't, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yep.
All right.
It's a nice hour, 22 minutes, too. It's another easy one. So. Yeah.
All right. This one that I am going to tell you, it's streaming on Amazon, on Prime. This will probably be the last horror movie I give you for a while. But this one was one of my favorites of 2015. I loved this movie. I mean, I saw it a few times in the theater, and I own it. Powerful performance by Anna Taylor-Joy. She was in the main one in Split. This is the first movie I've seen her in. This is The Witch. Have you seen that one yet?
All right. No.
All right, watch it, dude.
But I will.
It says horror mystery. Take horror out of it. I didn't think this was a horror movie at all. it was a mystery, dude, because I was blown away. with what they did with this film. You see the trailer. I mean, don't read into it. Just watch it. Then after you watch it, then go back and read about it. You might have to watch something, an explanation of it on YouTube. There's a ton of videos on there that explain it. But watch the movie first. Take it for what it is, and then do your research. But yeah, this movie is awesome. I would say maybe in top 20 horror movie, or I'll just put it in the horror category, because it would be in there. I was so blown away with this movie. It was a little indie movie. I saw it when it did a little a limited run before it went everywhere, and that's when I saw it. And oh man, I love this movie. I cannot get enough of it. It's eerie. It's you're like, what the hell's going on in this? But dude, check it out. Yeah, it's streaming on Amazon.
I will.
That's The Witch
for sure. So. Yeah, I won't drag this one out. It took me. I didn't watch Babadook till just yesterday, so just made the cut.
Well, you got a week.
I'll make sure to get up to this one. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I won't drag this one out.
All right. Well, with that, I do not have anything else. So all I can say is, hey, guys, thanks for listening. And we got a lot more. So,
yep.
I'm ready to roll.
Yep. Until next time, have fun, be safe, and be up to the challenge.